Greetings, and welcome to the 19th installment of our podcast series, The Workforce Lens, brought to you by Tarrant County College in North Texas. I am Shannon Bryant, Executive Vice President for Corporate Solutions and Economic Development, and I will be your host, moderating strategic conversations with employers and economic developers on all things related to preparing and growing the workforce today and the future. Please help me welcome our guest today, Sunitha Virgerla, General Manager of Recaro Aircraft Seating Americas, LLC. Welcome, Sunitha, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank you for having me here.
Very welcome to have you here. I know we've been working together for quite some time and so excited to have you here. So I want to start a little bit about Recaro. So Recaro opened their Fort Worth operations in 1998, correct?
Correct.
Tell us the story of Recaro and how the company came to establish roots in North Texas.
Definitely. So in late 90s, Recaro, we won a program from American Airlines. While the contract requested a site to have here in U.S., we also looked at the overall strategy, and we believed it's good to have a production location in central location in Americas that supports all of our customers in Americas region. And that's how we started here. And when we looked at the site selection, we have done some analysis to figure out what would be the good location for us to have a location in U.S. And North Texas came in at the top of the list. And it also helps us to serve customers all of Americas, North, South, and Central at this point. And again, having a good connection to the expansion and also having major airlines also located here helps.
Absolutely. So you said North Texas came in as at the top of the list. What were the attributes that made North Texas the top of the list?
Definitely. I mean, one of that is, of course, transportation, right? Having good connectivity to the rail, to the air, as well as via seaport. That was really good. And then the other item is also employment. Having a really good employer-friendly situation here from the tax side, as well as also from the talent pool, especially with a lot of technical universities around and schools, that also helps. And of course, the neighborhoods as well. Yeah,
right, absolutely.
Places the North Texas in the top choice selection area. And that was the case 20, 25 years ago, and it's still true.
Okay, great. So tell us a little bit more about what's the key focus of the Fort Worth plant? Because I know a lot of your locations have different specializations. I know you do aircraft seating, gaming chairs, baby seats too, if I'm not mistaken, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Definitely. I guess maybe I have to walk you through the Recaro history a little bit.
That would be great. We would love to hear it.
Yeah. So the company started in 1906 as a Reuter Carrosserie in Stuttgart, making car bodies. And in 1963, we moved into automotive seating. And then 63 is also when we started deviating from the car bodies and primarily into the automotive seating. Then in 72 is when we started aircraft seating, which is currently headquartered in Germany. And then 98 is when we started kids. And that's also happened to be the same year that we started in Fort Worth here on aircraft seating side. And then also recently we have gaming that we started. And then as of this year, we also ventured into train seating. So right now, Recaro Group, which is a privately owned group, it has about five divisions. Two are licensed partners, which is the automotive and kids. And then the three other businesses are mainly aviation, gaming, and now the train seating. And within the aviation, our headquarters, as I mentioned, is in Germany. Then we have production site here in Fort Worth, a fully established site. And then we have a site in Poland, one in China, and a sister company in South Africa. I call it sister companies because we don't manufacture aircraft seats there, but we do composites that goes into the aircraft seating.
Great. So I got to call out the gaming seats real quick because I know we have a lot of students who listen to this podcast. So the gaming seats in particular, is that something you sell to individuals or is that something you sell in a commercial setting or somebody's interested in a Recaro gaming seat, how do we find out information?
Definitely. I know it's catching on, right? And for sure it started before the pandemic. And that's one business that has taken off during the pandemic.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes. So it started as gaming chairs, yeah, mainly for the professional esports. And during the pandemic, I think as most of us got stuck in between four walls, and definitely then there is also demand to turn that gaming chairs into office chairs as well. So now we have another model that's also mainly taking off from as an office chair to be comfortable if you're sitting in it for 8 hours, 6 hours, longer time frames. So if you want to get a gaming chair, definitely you can go on to Recaro.com and then go on to the gaming. And it's currently developed for the areas in Europe, but it's also getting shipped to U.S. So we don't have a manufacturing location for gaming in U.S., but definitely you can get one.
I've seen those chairs, folks, and I've sat in one. They're pretty awesome, I have to say. So, okay,
and sidebar. You're also more than welcome to come to our facility and experience those, because we have those chairs in some of our conference rooms, and those conference rooms are the popular ones that everybody likes to go to.
I'm sure, the ones that are always booked. Yes. So Sunitha, back to Recaro here. I'm curious to know, how much growth in human capital has the company had since its inception in 1998? And what are the future growth expectations of your workforce over the next 3 years?
Yeah, so when we started back in 98, we started with about 30 people here for the complete operations. So most of it is tied to the two production lines that we used to have to produce the aircraft seats, and then some management. To give you just a little bit of an idea, back then when we started, we had one engineer. And his primary responsibility was just to print drawings from the system. So no creation, nothing. And compared that to now where we are, we have about more than 60 engineers. And not just, of course, printing the drawings, but also developing. So we have the complete responsibility from cradle to grave. So we take care of all the customers out of North Texas and also all of Americas. And then from engineering side, we also design, we test, we certify the seats, and then we also have production and full-blown supply chain. So currently, we have more than 450 employees. Of course, that has taken a little bit of a dip to the pre-pandemic levels to where we are right now. And as I said, we have the full responsibility. Right now, we're operating with 5 assembly lines, and before pandemic, we were at 8 assembly lines. So again, as I said, it has taken some hit from the pandemic, but now we're recovering. And for the next 3 years, I see the growth at 10% year over year for the site here in Fort Worth. And this is also one of our targets to maintain that growth level, and because we believe that gives us a really good, healthy growth to support the expansion in terms of market share, but also it gives us a chance to develop and promote and really train our workforce as well. Yeah,
right. When you're talking about that 10% increase year over year, can you talk a little bit about those positions that you're going to be filling? Are they skilled labored positions, or are they more general assembly positions? What kind of workforce are you looking for?
So it's across the board, I would say. Again, as I said, that we used to operate at 8 production lines. So we're at 5 production lines. So we still have room to grow, to expand on the assembly side. And, of course, that also needs some help from the office as well. And, again, when I said the growth is not just in production, but also in terms of market share, which means that we also have capability to produce, which means develop more new programs, which would require office employees as well. So we're looking at the growth across the board.
Okay. And you answered the next question a little bit about how the pandemic has impacted your industry. And I'm curious to know, though, because we talked things. Obviously, I'm assuming your aircraft seating, that was definitely probably impacted by the pandemic, but your gaming chair industry skyrocketed, it sounds like, during the pandemic. So talk to us a little bit, and not just Recaro specific, but industry specific for what you do and the different seatings that you provide. How do you feel that the industry is recovering?
Yeah, so again, being in aviation with the pandemic, it has taken the hit, right, with everything shut down and all the travel got stopped. So we have taken the impact, and just like I guess any other aviation industry, it almost came to a halt. If you looked at TSA numbers before pandemic, it used to be like more than 2 million people would go through TSA checks on a everyday basis. And then during the pandemic, the numbers were in hundreds. So that tells you the drastic difference of the slowdown. And we have also seen quite some interesting trends, if you want to call it, with the pandemic, because again, everybody was bringing their own cleaning solutions, wiping the whole seat down, right, trying to keep it clean. But of course, they're not certified components. So that was also some were having some chemical reactions, right? So this also pushed us to look for some solutions. Again, we always believe in innovation and also being customer focused. So we have established a team to start looking at what should be our post, we called it post-C initiative, post-COVID. What are the things that we should be looking for to make sure that we provide those solutions? So we looked into those, and we also partnered with airlines to help them to support the recovery.
That is something I've never thought about, but you're right, because I just flew over the weekend. Pretty sure those 2 million people were all on my flight. But thinking about the fact that you're right, being on an airplane, you do see a lot of people who are trying to sanitize or bringing in their sprays. So that had an impact on the seats that were already in the airplanes.
Correct.
So you've had to work with the airlines to recover from that. That's
correct.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. And interestingly, I mean, before going into the pandemic, because we have seen tremendous increase year over year until 2019, in the middle of 2019, we were already looking at planning for 2020. And we expected that there would not be such a high growth into 2020. So we planned to go for some reduction in 2020, right? And of course, the reduction what we had planned is in 10% to 15%. And not knowing what's coming ahead of us. And we already started looking at what needs to be done to reduce the growth, what we had seen the previous 10 years. So I think that gave us a little bit of a head start to be prepared for COVID. Of course, with COVID, it was dropped 60%, so we weren't planning to that extent. But at least it gave us a good start to start thinking of what needs to be done with the reduction, right? And like I said, with the COVID, we had to look at all kinds of different measures, and we had to put stops to a lot of things, right? I mean, training could be one. It could be employee events. If you come to our town halls, our employees always ask about Christmas parties, right? So these are the kind of things that we had to put stop to with the COVID situation, because we had to find a way to weather the storm, right? Right. And keep the company going. And that's what we had done. And also in terms of investments, again, we had to look at what do we need to continue, because we're not in this for a short run, right? We believe in the long term, and we believe in the aviation market that it will come back up. So we were always looking at what needs to be done to be prepared. So we never stopped investment in certain areas where it makes sense. So we have invested very heavily, even during pandemic, into having our own test facility. Again, in being in aviation, everything is regulated. So we have to test everything, all kinds of testing, 16G crash tests, flammability tests. So we have built a crash test facility at our headquarters in Germany. And we also started investing into our facilities because we wanted to expand and be ready for it. So it was a quite interesting moment to explain to our employees, right? On one side, we have to put all kinds of stops to certain short-term topics versus we still had to continue investing. So this was a tough situation, I guess, to balance. But we were fortunate to be able to have that open communication. And we also maintained our town halls during the COVID as well. Of course, we were doing virtual town halls, which we were not used to before.
Right.
And we also learned a lot from the technology front. And we're still learning from the technology front. But we always maintained the transparent communication. And I think that helped for our employees to understand the situation and also to see the vision of the company and also believe in what we're doing. So they were able to support us through the course. Yeah. And now we see the recovery in some areas way faster than what we anticipated. So in terms of recovery, we see that especially in North America, it picked up quite a bit. I think, recovered faster than other regions. And also even in North America, we see domestic travel picked up faster than international. So it's recovering, again, at different phases compared to different parts of the world. U.S. recovering much faster. We're post-pandemic, I think if you look at TSA numbers, we're almost back to the pre-pandemic levels, even more.
From my flight this past weekend, I would agree with that, yes.
International is not quite there yet. Also depends on what routes that you're taking. So again, between north and south, it has recovered quite a lot. And then we also see other impacts to APAC. It's still not there with the zero COVID policy, still holding true in China. That has an impact. And also with the war in Europe, that's also having some impacts on the international. So, but we see it recovering, and we believe in the future, and I think we're on the right path.
Great. I appreciate that. Yes. Yeah, so TCC has been very fortunate to work very, very much with Recaro over the past few years, and appreciate that relationship. And Sunitha mentions the Christmas party. I can attest that a lot of your staff were very sad to lose their Christmas party. Do you have one planned this year? Gotta know. Are you allowed to say that?
I'm allowed to say it because we have this question every town hall, yeah? And it just happens to be that we're coming to our 50-year anniversary for aircraft seating this year, so we're combining all of that together. So
there you go. That's going to be one heck of a party, because I know your staff told me all kinds of good accolades to the Christmas party. So, but with that being said, because I do know a lot of your employees and have had the opportunity to get to know Recaro over the past few years, and often our conversations are around skill sets. It's about your workforce. And obviously, being from a community college, we generate a lot of students who are going into the workforce in Tarrant County. So if you could, I would be interested for you to speak a little bit to the important skill sets that Recaro is hiring for. And how do those relate to our students here at TCC? What kind of skill sets are you looking for? What should we be focusing on? Because you are a very highly innovative company.
Yeah, definitely. Again, we're a tech company, right? Even though it looks like manufacturing, because we are producing an aviation product, and it's also very safety relevant project. I mean, product. And also, if you look at the from the airline's perspective, it's also the situation where we see that airlines have the opportunity to customize their fleet. So that's the first thing that passengers notice, right? I mean, you're a flying passenger. If you're walking down the cabin, right, the first thing that you look at or that you experience most of your flight is the seats. And so this is where a lot of emphasis goes in from the airline's point of view, believe it or not. And there's also a lot of focus from the comfort, from the safety, from the ergonomics. So it's very important for all of our workforce to understand the responsibility what they're carrying, even if they're working on assembly or if they're placing a PO or buying a part or even designing something or even talking to the customers. So the way that we try to describe the skill set is we define it as part of our core values of the company. And that, namely, we call it as integrity, responsibility, team spirit, excellence, entrepreneurship, and enthusiasm. Again, these could be really high-level words. And to put it in simple terms, we always say that you have to be curious. You need to know what you're going after, right? And you have to love what you do, right? Otherwise, this is not the job for you. Right. And then we say that you have to enjoy in an exciting global environment, because even though we're a facility in Fort Worth, we work with airlines throughout the world. Again, you impact pretty much every part of the world that's connected by air. And also with Recaro having multiple facilities across the world, we also have a lot of workforce that travels back and forth. So you have to be excited about this. And also we say that you have to feel that you are a contributor to the overall company success. And the way we try to deliver that message is what we call as WE, W-E. Is what we call, and that's how we represent each of us, and that we are Recaro.
And what does the WE stand for?
We stand for We Are Recaro.
We are Recaro. Okay, yes. Got it. So, yes. And I want to capitalize on something you just said, because I just finished a training yesterday with another company here in Tarrant County that is in the drilling industry. And one of the conversations we had was one of the most important characteristics that you should be hiring for. And you said the word, hiring for curiosity. You want to hire folks who are curious. They want to learn. They want to develop. those are the folks that you will get on your team who are highly innovative and come to the table with great ideas. So kudos to you for focusing on that.
Definitely. Again, if we look at from the inception to where we are, it's not the same landscape. It's not the same customer requirements. So everything changes. So you have to be curious to be the forefront, to learn, to understand what's coming up. Yeah, you have to be able to anticipate.
Absolutely. So, Sunitha, what have you come to find as some of the most important attributes of doing business in the Fort Worth area or North Texas in general? So some examples would be community support, workforce, utilities, those types of things that are important characteristics that I probably originally brought you here to North Texas. How are you finding those today?
As I said earlier, it's still the same, right, in terms of the selection, what we have made for North Texas to be our facility. For Fort Worth here, it's still, in terms of the transportation, really very well connected. This is very important for us, not only being in transportation industry, but also being able to manage the logistics of the in and outs of the components and the completed seats. Then, of course, also from the environmental perspective, it's also very good from the overall situation. Then we talk about the talent pool. Right, having all the universities and schools here, and also companies like TCC supporting us. This is also very well established, and I think it's growing as well. And for sure, the neighborhoods where people are able to bring their families and raise their children. This is also very important to have the right schools and the whole network, and definitely comes along with that is the connectivity, right, for the business communities and also for the neighborhoods.
Right. It's a whole ecosystem, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I want to transition a little bit because I want to talk more about you. You and I have chatted a little bit, and I want to know more. How did you come to serve as the general manager for Recaro? And I would like you to walk us through your leadership journey that has led you here today.
Okay. As I said, I mean, Recaro is a family-owned company, and you can also see that in the DNA of the company culture as well. And I grew up in India, came to U.S. for my master's. I did my master's here from North Texas, University of North Texas. And that's where I met my husband. He and I still joke about it because there was a job fair from UNT back in 2004, I believe, yes. And there was a small booth, one person with the stand, right? And we were walking by, me and my husband, or I guess now husband. And he said, okay, I'm going to take a break. And I said, okay, I'll go check out what this company is because I've never heard about them before, right? And came to find out about Recaro, and they were looking for a project manager. They never had a project manager before, so it caught my attention, right? And that's how I gave my resume and then had an interview and then, you know, ended up as a project manager, the only project manager back then. And speaking of curiosity, right, I guess that's probably the case of me as well, being curious of what this company is. And, right. And I landed there. And, of course, throughout the course of the 18 years, I moved into different roles, project management, customer service, quality, finance, HR, all kinds of trades, if you want to call it, and then ended up as the general manager. Again, I guess maybe I'm the walking example of the people development and also the emphasis that we put in terms of giving the opportunities and making sure that people have the skills to develop and grow into the organization.
You've definitely become a trailblazer. So you're an engineer by trade, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what challenges have you faced being a woman in the STEM field? And for those who aren't familiar with the acronym of STEM, it is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And what advice do you have for young females considering a career in the same field?
So that's an interesting question because, again, growing up in India, it was quite very common to see less females in engineering fields. And I was used to that. And I had a different impression of America back then. I thought there would be a lot more equality in terms of engineering fields with females. And when I came to U.S. for my master's, that wasn't the case. Again, still small numbers. So that was really surprising for me.
You were one of the few in your classes?
Yes, yes. And it was also interestingly surprising when I started working at Recaro because, again, we're a German company, And in a manufacturing world, again, it's very less number of people. So that was surprising to see that. But that never stopped in terms of that curiosity, right? Why can't we do this? And now I think the picture is quite different. I see a lot more females. And in fact, in certain areas, we have more females than male. And it's also changing, right? I mean, it's changing in the right direction. And if I look at our board right now, it's also more females involved in there as well. So I think it's really a happy and proud movement. And I see that changing not just within the Recaro world, but across the board. And I think that's a right direction that we are going in. I never believe in quota. I think it needs to be based on the talent. It needs to be based on the leadership. So again, I see the change in the right direction.
Right. It's just about educating and encouraging young ladies to come into these fields.
Exactly. And I'm a mother of two girls, and I tell them all the time, right, the gender is not something that they chose. So it cannot be the stopping point or a disadvantage for them. So they have to work hard towards it. Sometimes they have to might have to make some adjustments, but that's the choice that they have to make. Yeah.
Exactly. So who inspired you to be a leader and why?
So I say this because, again, growing up in India, it was it's a very male-dominated country, right? Again, things have changed a lot. But back then, very male-dominated country. And growing up, it was really fascinating to see that country led by an Indian prime minister. Yeah. So that really inspired me, Indira Gandhi. I mean, I put the political, stands aside, but that's really an inspiration for me, how she was able to manage and also rule the country, right, for so long in a particularly male-dominated country.
It's very interesting. Did you ever get a chance to meet her?
No, she passed away when I was 6 or 7.
And so, you were young?
Yes, yeah. But of course, I mean, you hear about the stories and you read about articles and whatnot. Like I said, put the political side things aside, but also the courage that she was able to portray was really impressive.
She led the way.
Yes.
Very interesting. Yeah. So I want to come back a little bit to Recaro. Recaro is a multicultural company. What challenges and benefits does having such a diverse workforce bring to the innovation of the work at Recaro? And do you happen to know how many languages alone are spoken here at your Fort Worth plant? And the reason I'm asking that is because we have a company that we're working with right now that's here in North Texas, and they have 37 languages that are being spoken within their organization. But with diversity comes innovation. So I want to hear about how that impacts Recaro.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in terms of multicultural, it's not just within Recaro what we face, but also with the customers. Again, we work with multinational companies, right? Airlines all over the world. Of course, everybody speaks different languages. And same thing with our workforce, too. And having locations throughout the world, we also have to interact with a lot of cultures and a lot of languages. It, like you said, it definitely pushes you towards the adaptation and learning and innovation, yeah. So this is, on one side, again, I think the basic skill of curiosity requirement kicks in, right, that you have to be able to adapt and adjust and understand. If not, then it would be you're in a small world, right? And if you look at the world dynamics right now, you know that it's not just one nation, right? Everything is connected throughout the world, and that's also what you see in the workforce. And the advantage what we see is because we are working with this is part of our culture, right, that we work with all cultures, multilingual people. So this is somehow is used to, I guess, in the workforce. And for sure, for the new employees walking in, this would be an adjustment phase. But because people have gone through this, and also internally, what we have is sort of like a buddy system, informal buddy system for the new employees so that they can talk to the other employees and get to know. And this definitely helps in terms of onboarding and bringing people onboarding. And in terms of the languages spoken at Recaro, in Fort Worth, I would say like close to 15 languages. And worldwide, I think we have more than 40 languages that people speak. And it's also interesting because last year we have done like a small video in our operations team where they were doing Happy or Merry Christmas in multiple languages. And it was really interesting to hear from the U.S. operations team so many languages on that video. So it was really interesting.
That's very cool. I love that. So, Ricaro, it's a great asset to our community and our economy here. What can the North Texas community do to continue to recruit and retain such highly innovative companies such as yours?
So one thing I would say is that we need to continue to keep the focus towards community development, yeah, whether it's related to infrastructure, local engagement opportunities, or workforce development. I think this is where the future is, that we need to be able to develop. And again, from the workforce point of view, from the infrastructure point of view, and looking at the trends, what's coming up, and how do we prepare as a community for those trends, yeah. And I have seen some good progress in the last years, and I hope that we would continue in that direction. And I think that's also what brought us closer between Ricaro and TCC in terms of this training opportunities, the workforce development. So I see some great leaps and bounds in terms of the progress there, and I wish to continue that even further.
So don't we? We greatly appreciate the relationship with Ricaro and hope it lasts for a very long time. So. All right, Sunitha, in one sentence, I ask all of my guests this question. What career advice might you offer to the young people of this community in relation to their career and education?
I would say in one sentence, do not be afraid of taking the first step. As we always say, that first step is the one that takes a long time. Some people think a lot before putting that first step. Some people might just jump in, right? But that first step is already, I would say, about 30-40% of your work, yeah? And also, if you're looking for some help or advice, I think taking that first step will show the commitment from your side before asking somebody else to help you out with the situation, right? Whether it's in work or in personal or, you know, your classes, your assignments, this is what I believe in, and that's the advice I would give to anybody.
I love that. It is all about the first step for certain. So
it could be a wrong step, but do the first step.
But at least you learn from it, right?
Yes.
It's not. I always say there's no mistakes, just
yes.
Lessons learned.
Yes.
And if you don't take that step, you'll never know.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. That's great. Anything else additional that you might like to share with our listening audience as it pertains to workforce, Ricaro, whatever it might be?
Yeah, I think in general or as a summary, I would say, Ricaro, we're all about safety, whether it's related to our products or our people. And I think this is also what the team had witnessed when we went through even COVID outbreaks, the way that we were able to bring situation under control. For sure, we had to spend additional efforts in terms of having on-site testing, making sure that we adding additional sanitations and cycles and things like that. So again, we put safety of our employees and of our product first. And in general, we're really happy in terms of what we are seeing. And even with the raising costs, right, we also provide healthcare for our employees. It's completely paid by the company, not just for employee, but also the complete family. And this is also something that we're maintaining to make sure that we keep the health of our employees as the first priority. And the same goes into our products here. And again, we manufacture a wide range of products, all the way from economy short range to business long range. So in simple words, economy seats, what I fly usually, all the way to the flatbed business class seats. And all of that goes through the same regimen, whether it's economy or business class seat, in terms of safety, in terms of testing and all of that. And also being a German origin, right, we are also very proud towards our sustainability efforts. Again, to be in aviation, you have to have certain qualifications, quality standards, AS9100, that's very typical for aviation companies. But also overall, we're also certified as ISO 14001. Which is the certification for the sustainability, and all of our facilities are certified for that. And it's not a requirement to have it, but we believe in that, and that's what we pushed for towards sustainability. So again, we're doing all these initiatives, and again, towards people, right? We also picked up the training efforts, I think, from TCC. You see some of that as well, the training, what we are putting forth, not just in our management, but also developing our leaders, our frontline leaders as well. So again, all of that is towards the people growth, towards safety of our products, and looking for the greater good. So overall, we're recovering really good, and we believe in the industry in terms of recovery. And overall, we're really happy with the progress. And for sure, the next 3 to 5 years, we have a fairly highly ambitious targets. But also from the planning side, we also believe that we will make that happen. So a really growing industry to be part of. And overall, we're really proud of it. And as we always say, we are Recaro. Yeah.
As you should be, for certain. So, Sunith, if someone wants to learn more about Recaro, or they want to look at the jobs, perhaps, that you have available at Recaro here in Fort Worth, how might they reach out?
So they can always go to the website, www.recaro.com. Again, there you will be able to see a lot of all the Recaro products. And then you can specifically go into aircraft seating, and you could also go to specific locations. Again, for the new prospects, right, as I said, we're in the right industry. And also from the company point of view, we're also putting a lot of efforts to develop people. And what we also started the program as a, what we call as a FLY. This is for our new employees or aspiring employees that wants to become leaders. So again, we have great programs that are ongoing. So I would say look up us on Recaro.com and also through the other social media.
Sunitha, thank you so much. Thank you to you. Thank you to Recaro for being here today. We greatly appreciate it. We hope our listening audience has gained value. Recaro is definitely another great company here in North Texas, and we appreciate you being here today. So I'd like to thank the listening audience, and we look forward to seeing you all again on the next episode of the Workforce Lens. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon.